nonsense. As live as they want to be from California, here's Sean and Jen.
So, more tragic news on the heels of my diagnosis of pterodactylism.
Oh no, what do you have now?
I've also been diagnosed with pasta syndrome.
Pasta syndrome?
Yeah, it turns out that most of my vasculatory system is made out of penne pasta noodles and tomato sauce.
Wonder why.
Welcome to Hyper Nonsense. We are the podcast that comes to you straight from the heart of California. And we are recording this show on a wonderful Monday evening. And we're so happy to be with you in the listening audience of the world.
And we're rather amazed that we're on show 5 and we haven't, like, taken a month vacation yet, you know?
Yeah, well, I think at this point, you know, we need to stop.
Well,
you
have 5. I think we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they say that one of those stats that you always hear about pods. And they say that, you know, shows, if a show makes 5 episodes, it'll probably keep going. And I mean, it isn't like, as we've already explained, we don't need to go back into this, but it isn't really like, oh, this is our first ever pods.
No, but, it's not.
But you know, as we've explained, sometimes we've been inconsistent, but we're still here and we're still doing it, making the pods, and I don't know about you, but I'm still enjoying it. Are you enjoying it, or are you ready to quit?
I'm not ready to quit. It's fun.
Well, that's not what you were saying before. You were like, oh, I can't believe I got to do pods.
No, that's not what I was saying. I was writing an article earlier. I wasn't even talking about podcasting.
So, what do we have to talk about? Well, so many things, really, because it's a show. Now, I want to talk about this. As we've discussed in previous eps, we got our own business now. We got an official paper and everything from the state. And one of the things that we're going to do, it's really, you know, our business is a hydra of sorts. It has multiple heads. And one of the heads, I mean, most of the heads have to do with media production. I mean, pretty much all of the heads. But it's kind of like some of the heads are more specialized. I mean, you could say that we're specialized. We have specialized heads. So I'm really glad that we have our show title this early on.
But, there it is. Specialized heads.
But one of the things that we want to do, I mean, we're recording a show, so again, media audio production is kind of the thing.
Yep.
The whole thing of it all. But one of the things, and I don't know why I feel like maybe I should not announce this, but I mean, what's the harm? But one of the things we want to try to get into is doing audiobook narration.
Right.
And it's something that we've toyed with in the past, but never done really enough. Like we've done it a little bit in the past, but we've never done it enough to really take it anywhere. And now
now we have better tech, we have more time, we have all of that kind of thing. So,
but
it's a better opportunity now than it was in the past.
One of the things that we really need to do to kind of make this more possible is we need to kind of maximize the time we have where we can really be productive as far as the recording. And the truth of the matter is that time is later on in the day. And by that, I mean the night. I'm talking about
like nighttime,
the 24-hour day, not later on in the day. Like 4:30.
Right. Because generally it gets somewhat quieter around here between, like, I don't know, 1:30 in the morning and around 4:30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I tweeted about this recently that it's been kind of surprising that it's been less noisy around here during the day. And I feel
I've
like...
I've noticed that too.
I feel like this is some kind of calm before the storm. Like I just feel like what's going to happen is, you know, one day we're just going to come here into the back room here, the studio, and, you know, the neighbors are going to have, you know, erected like a full, like overnight or somehow, like in the course of a few hours, they will have erected a full, fully functioning, like, metal shop.
Oh, God.
Across, you know, right on the other side of our fence, and they're just going to be out there doing all kinds of loud clanking, like, all day. Like, that's all it's going to be. Like, it's going to be like we're living next door to Santa's workshop.
Complex. Yeah, really, Santa's workshop or
but,
something. Yeah.
You know, these are the highly specialized elves that only work in welding or whatever.
Oh, they could be gnomes, you know, engineering gnomes.
Exactly. There yeah. we go. Mm-hmm. So, it's been kind of weird, but the point is that it's still really too noisy during the day to really, because the thing about doing something like an audiobook is you need a lot of time where you're, because what we experienced the first time we did this, where granted we were still recording kind of later on, but what we experienced the first time we did this was we had to be like, you know, I was sitting here with my headphones, like, you know, taped to my head, you know, getting them as close to my ears as possible so I could make sure that we weren't recording during any possible extraneous noises. And the thing is that while we have, you know, the studio space, it's not really that soundproof to the outside world.
Right. So we'd be, like, I'd be reading it, and I'd be doing rather well with a portion of it, and I'd have to stop because a car drove by over the speed bumps really loud, or there was a siren, or some other random noise outside, or a plane went overhead, or, you know, random loud neighbor stuff, you know, yelling at each other or whatever, and it got frustrating, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
you'd get, like, a clear, like, a whole paragraph, say, sounding really good on maybe one or two takes, and, you know, you think it sounded good, and, like, my reading of it was good, but there was, like, a car door slamming and a siren somewhere in there, you know? It was really frustrating to have to redo what I just did and hope I could do it as well again, especially if I'm doing voices. It got really frustrating.
Yeah, so we would have to constantly do these retakes or wait until some, you know, and we live in a valley. So what would happen is some idiot would be out joyriding at night and they would, you know, cruise by at some ridiculously fast speed. And we'd have to wait until the reverberations of their engine would finally fade off into the distance and it couldn't be picked up anymore. And it was a real pain. And because of that, we never really finished that project. There were other reasons, but what we talked about is now that, as we explained in the previous episode, at least I am pre-retired, and Jen has been on this night owl schedule for a while.
It's just better for me.
And when I was working, you know, I had to be awake kind of, for lack of a better term, normal hours. And I don't really need to be, on that schedule anymore. So
right. So we have more of an opportunity now than we had in the past to actually make this audiobook go.
Yeah.
And to be clear, it is not anything I've written.
Because before, you know, I even though we had some time during the evening, usually around, I don't know, 11 p.m. or so, midnight, whatever, at the latest, I would have to clock out because I would have to go to bed so I could get up and go to work. And that isn't really that much of a factor anymore. So we started talking about it and we went, well, what we should do is I can kind of change my sleep pattern so I go to bed later so we can stay up later and work on this stuff. And Jen has the gift of sleepy booze. She can go to sleep. She, like, I've said before, I've said before, Jen could fall asleep on a concrete slab in the middle of World War III, and it wouldn't matter. Like, it wouldn't matter what was going on. If she can fall asleep, she will go to sleep, and she will sleep for as long as she needs to, uninterrupted. That could be an hour or 12.
Yeah.
Or more.
It could be up to 14 or 15, honestly. But,
and it doesn't matter, like, so much about how much, there's a level, but it doesn't matter so much about how much noise is around. Light is not an issue at all.
Nothing.
You know, she has the gift.
I don't know why I figured it has to do with all my health issues, you know? And yeah, I will knock out and like Sean can come and ask me questions while I'm asleep and I will be able to respond to those questions, but I have no conscious awareness of this and he'll have to remind me later. Oh yeah, you know, I asked you this earlier and I'd be like, okay, you know? So, I mean, he can talk to me still. I can respond, but I'm asleep.
This is one of those things where it's weird. Well, it's not weird. It's just what it is. But I am kind of the exact opposite of Jen when it comes to this. Like, I am one of these. I'm a pretty light sleeper. I need a lot of. I need things to be very much a certain way before I can really sleep. It's kind of stupid almost. It's really gotten to a point where it's like, if I'm going to fall asleep, I need to have a certain level. I need it to be, you know, pretty dark. I need there to be a certain level of white noise, preferably. And lately, in order to go to sleep, for a long time, really, usually what I'll do is I'll find some radio-esque thing to listen to as I'm going to sleep. And then usually I'll fall asleep. And I'll wake up a little bit later and I'll shut that off and then just fall back asleep. And I don't know if this should be taken as a compliment or not, but usually what I do is I use the Stitcher app on my iPad and I pull up something from the Twit Network and it's fantastic for me to go to sleep to. And I really don't mean this as like it's boring, because what I need is I need something that's just interesting enough that I can, like, my mind will focus on it and kind of shut off. And back when we lived in Illinois, I would do this with sports talk radio, because I'm not really big into sports. But when we lived in Illinois, I followed most of the Chicago sports teams enough that I knew, you know, I knew enough about them that I knew kind of what was going on generally. So I could put on a sports talk radio station, and it was enough that I was interested in it enough, but I didn't really care about it. Like, I wouldn't listen to a podcast I subscribe to this way because I actually want to hear that. But if it's something that I have just kind of a general interest in, and for whatever reason, the Twitch shows are great. I listen to all of them now, at least partially, while I'm going to sleep. It's fantastic. Right.
But there's something about those shows, too, because we've noticed that there's some tech shows that our birds really enjoy the voice of the people on the show.
Down.
And some of them are Twit. They like Geek News Central, too, you know.
Yeah.
And they just sit there and listen. Like, they're not sleeping. They're not annoyed. They're not, like, running around the cage being bored or whatever. They're, like, just sitting calmly and they're listening to it. They enjoy the sound of the voices of the people on these shows.
Well, typically these shows, you know, they're usually hosted by a male, you know. And the thing is that because of the subject matter, they're not getting all crazy and screaming and yelling, and there's not a whole lot of music or other noises.
There's not like music and sound effects going on, or, you know, drop-ins or things like that. And it's just a continual voice and they like it. They really, really enjoy it.
So to kind of help this process along of getting me out of the old pattern of sleeping and getting to more of sleeping, you know, staying up later and all that, we ordered these blackout curtains for our bedroom because I can't, unlike Jen, I can't sleep in the daylight. And right now, especially because it's the middle of summer, it starts getting sunny noticeably easily by 6 a.m. And this is California. you know, we're on the West Coast, so it's like extra sunny. You know, if you're in, if you're in like Iowa or whatever, it's sunnier here than it is where you are, at least to some extent. And it just, because kind of the pattern is, Jen stays up all night and she comes to bed and, you know, we talk for a little while. And I would kind of lay there and be awake enough that I'm like, well, I could probably get up, but I should try to get more sleep if I can. And sometimes I could go back to sleep, but sometimes I couldn't. And last night was the first night we put these curtains up. And this morning, when I tried to go back to sleep, I did. And I slept until almost 10 a.m. And that is like unheard of. I mean, 9 a.m. was where I felt like, wow, man, I really slept in late. So I know, and the thing is, like, all day long, I actually felt way more rested. I had, like, more energy and stuff.
Did you need a nap today? Sometimes you do. I don't remember.
No.
See?
Actually, I didn't. And usually, yeah, around 4 o'clock-ish, I usually need to take a nap, but today I didn't. So having those curtains, and these curtains, I found them on Amazon, and I was reading all these different reviews, and they were like the third ones I found. And this is why it's important to read reviews, and I am very skeptical about online reviews for almost everything, because I feel like a lot of times everyone is in the wrong, mindset, I guess, when it comes to writing online reviews on sites like Amazon, because some people are, they have like this built-in bias where they don't want to write a bad review because they don't want to feel like they made a wrong purchase. But also, everything skews towards, this is the greatest thing ever, or this is a product invented by Satan himself. Like, there's very little middle ground where someone says, well, this worked for me fine. It's not the greatest thing ever, but it's okay. Here's why. And I try to find those reviews where I can. But the first few sets of curtains I found that I thought, okay, these are the ones we're going to order, this is where these reviews can be helpful. And they were all saying that, oh, well, these curtains have this weird chemical smell that you can't get rid of. And I am like super sensitive to that kind of stuff. So that was super helpful because I didn't want to get any of those. So then I found these ones that we ordered and I went through all of the reviews, like pages of reviews. And I kept, you know, specifically looking for people saying these had a funny smell, and none of them said that. So that made me feel better. And then people were saying things like, oh yeah, these curtains are great. They're as good as hotel curtains. Then, you know, hotels have those great blackout curtains. Those are the best, where you just close it up and it's like the world, I have closed off the world. You know, like the outside world no longer exists. I'll come out and hear my reverb. There it is. What is this other button? I better leave that one down because things might explode. So you go to the hotel and you close those curtains and you're like, I am Nosferatu. There is no light. Ha ha ha. Yeah? No? Do you ever do that?
No. I just go to sleep.
Okay, so the reviews were saying that these curtains were great. And I thought, okay, these are good. So I ordered them. And last night we put them up. And as I've stated, slept better than expected. And I wasn't, because there was still some light coming in. It was definitely less than what we had before with our old curtains. But there's still some light coming in. And I was like, oh, it's okay. This is probably manageable. And the other thing is, one of our windows has a window air conditioner in it, and you can't put a curtain over an air conditioner and use it, right? That seems pretty obvious.
Yeah, you have to kind of like push the curtain up so it's on top of the air conditioner.
Yeah, well, what I realized today, because these curtains have these ties on the bottom, And what I realized today looking at it is with the, because we have to do this kind of ghetto thing where we just take the curtain and let it rest on top of the air conditioner. But what I realized today looking at it is it kind of looks like the air conditioner has a bonnet.
Yeah, it does, because it sort of loops over it.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of funny looking. The ties, the curtain ties kind of come along the bottom, the sides, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like the little air conditioner is wearing a bonnet.
Yeah, it's wearing a bonnet now.
It's adorable, but that's what I should just write in my Amazon review. Like, these are adorable. If you have a window air conditioner, make sure window air conditioner looks like it has a bonnet. 5 stars. I'll post a picture. Maybe I'll do that.
Go ahead. I'm sure it'll get some attention.
It'll become the most upvoted review. That would be amazing.
Right. It'll be passed around like the people who have done reviews of a gallon of milk, I think.
And, oh, yeah.
And the recipe review for ice, you know, it's been passed around a lot, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm pretty happy. I slept good. I slept later. And right now, I think I haven't tried it yet. But I think once I pull that curtain down and let it block that other window completely, there's obviously going to be even less light in there. Because right now, it's, you know, the one with the air conditioner is not kind of blocked out all the way. But I'm pretty excited about that. Now, speaking of other curtains, we have this huge box in our living room still. I haven't.
Yeah.
I need to break that out this week. But
the box has been there so long care. But I find it amusing because, you know, our cockatiels aren't interested in anything new or different. And they do not like boxes because they've gotten the idea that a lot of boxes sitting around mean we're going to move. And yep. They don't like that at all. You know, they'll complain. Stare at the box, look at us, and complain again. It's been sitting there for so long that at least one of them enjoys sitting on top of the box now. Like, it's just part of the furniture.
Right.
And one of them has tried to nibble on the corner of the box, and one who likes to go up to large things like couches and pillows and air cleaners and whatever, and just sort of, like, sit next to it real close, has now been doing that with this box. So they think it belongs there now.
Well, I ordered these sound, for lack of a better term, they're, you could say, soundproofing curtains. That's not really the best way to describe them. But that's what they're for. And the thinking when I first got them was we were going to make sort of a soundproof booth as much as we could using our closet in this room. And I'm kind of rethinking that. I don't know yet if that's still the best use or not. But it was the reason I ordered them. And I haven't broken them out yet. Like I said, I should do that this week. So that'll be potentially fun and amusing. But yeah, curtains everywhere. It's big time curtain. It's curtain talk. It's been curtain talk. You've been listening to curtain talk. So speaking of buying things, I had to go out earlier today. And I went to the CVS.
Mm-hmm.
That's a drugstore.
Yeah, it's like Walgreens or Rite Aid or whatever.
They don't have them all over the country.
No, they don't.
You probably know what it is. And I gotta tell you, I am furious with this CVS. First off, they have this weird thing where you go in and they like a lot of these places, you sign up and you get one of these discount cards. We've all seen these. A lot of the stores have them. And they have this machine, I call it the Couponator 5000, in the front of the store. And you scan your card in there, and it prints out these coupons, right? And I got this thing. I mean, you could wear this coupon sheet as a sash. Like, I think I could almost tie it around myself. It's so long. And I'm thinking, you know, why can't I just have these electronically sent to my card? I mean, it's insane how many coupons there are. I don't know how much CVS is directly contributing to deforestation, but it's got to be, you know, at least 10% at this point. And the receipts aren't any better. I bought two things. And this receipt is like a mile long.
Yeah. It's like, it's not as long as the other one, but it's like as long as your arm, maybe. I mean, two items, big freaking thing.
Let's see.
Maybe it's longer. Let's see.
It's close. If I hold it up, if I put it like right to the base of my shoulder and just kind of lay it out, it's not, it's on the floor now.
Oops, he dropped it. Yeah, it's on the floor. Okay.
If I take this receipt and I put it at almost the base of my shoulder.
Looks like it goes to about your wrist or so.
It goes at least to about my wrist.
Yeah.
I bought two things. Like, why do we need this much paper for two items? But the thing that really irritates me now, this was, this was kind of a drugstore emergency. I know we all have those. But, I've said before that between me and Jen, we make almost one functional human being.
You have said that before, yeah.
And Jen noticed the other day, she said to me, hey, your toothbrush has a mold colony. It's been taken over by a mold colony.
It did. And I don't know when that appeared, but I definitely noticed it. And I'm like, okay, he probably can't see that.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So I told you because I didn't think you could see that. So you could at least make your own decision based on, the knowledge.
You told me that and I kind of forgot about it. And I think I used it for a couple more days. And then yesterday I remembered and I said, oh, yeah, what am I going to do about this mold? And you said, well, just get a new toothbrush. And I said, okay, fine. So I tossed a toothbrush, but I had to go back. I had to go today because I'm one of these crazy people that likes to brush their teeth every day.
Go figure.
So I had to go today to get some toothbrushes, and you said, well, while you're out, get me one too. I mean, this is the kind of exciting lives we lead over here.
Yeah,
it's all about curtains and toothbrushes.
Right. And I was too sick today to go out of the house. I'm having a rough couple of weeks.
Examples of how it is that between the two of us, we make almost one function.
Right. Because normally I would be able to drive him there. And this was not going to be possible today. So I couldn't go with.
I'm wondering if really what we should do is just reboot this show as a coping with disabilities and chronic illness cast.
Well, it kind of is one anyway.
That's what we should rebrand the show as that.
Nah, people will figure it out. Fine.
We'll just start having guests on. People will call up and complain about all their aches and pains. But
yeah, let's save that until we're older and actually move into a seniors only park. Neighbors only, over and be like, okay, so what would you like to say about your ailments today? Here's your time to talk.
This week, what's your complaint? Well, my arthritis is flaring up and my bowels are slow.
Great.
So, this is why I'm furious, god damn it. I go to look at the toothbrushes.
And, at the CVS, right?
I'm at the CVS. And I go to look at the toothbrushes. And, this is one of those things about America. Like, we have to have a babillion choices in everything. And I don't know.
I could make a really snarky comment here, and I'm not going to.
I haven't. All right, calm down with your hashtag protests.
Yep.
So, I'm looking at these brushes, and I don't know, I haven't spent hours, unlike when I research things like blackout curtains, I haven't spent hours on different websites researching toothbrushes. I just need a toothbrush. Pretty simple. So I'm looking at all these different ones, and they sell them in two packs, so I figure I'll get a two pack, and then I find a four pack, and it's hanging on a one of these toothbrush hanging rods, and it says $1.49, and I'm like, hey, this looks great. Four toothbrushes for $1.50. I've hit the jackpot. Now, normally I know they tend to cost more than that, but who am I to guess? Who am I to second guess, toothbrushes, right? So I get that, I go up and I pay, and the total bill comes to like $12. I had a coupon, and I had one other thing that I bought because Jen needed glue sticks.
Right, I'm doing a scrapbook.
For her scrapbook.
Yep.
King.
Yep.
Do we sound really old right now? The scrapbooking,
I know,
and the complaining about prices with coupons.
Yeah, well, I'm not doing traditional scrapbooking. It's more of an artsy thing. So.
I get this $12, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? I pay it, and I get home, and I check the receipt, and what do you know? The toothbrushes were way more than $1.50. So what must have happened is some prankster out there, some ne'er-do-well, put the 4-pack under the wrong thing. And I'm like, oh, what the hell? I mean, it's like, I don't know what the... Here, let me see if I can dig through my mountain of papers. Let's see. These toothbrushes were an amount of money, $11.49. So that's not quite $3 a piece, which is usually about what they cost. And I guess now, when my toothbrush becomes a mold colony again.
I've never seen that happen before. I don't know why that happened this time.
Well, it's probably connected to the pterodactylism.
Oh,
it's
probably, there you go. Yeah, yeah, that must be it.
Speaking of which. Bleh! Mold on your toothbrushes. So I figured now the next time that happens, I won't be stuck without a toothbrush. I'll just be able to go to the toothbrush reserves. Maybe we should have a stockpile of toothbrushes. Can we do like the extreme couponing?
Probably.
And just have a million
probably
toothbrushes on hand.
Well, I don't know that anyone can do like the total extreme couponing like they used to do, because stores have changed their policies to prevent that. But we could probably stock up if you wanted to. But the stuff that, like, if you've ever seen, like, an extreme couponing show.
All the toothbrushes now.
Yeah. What they're doing on that show is not what you can actually do in a real store, because they're breaking the rules to do it so that the store can be on the show, is kind of what part of it is, been revealed. For example, you can't. A lot of stores don't allow you to double coupons, but they will for the show. They won't take competitors' coupons, but they will for the show, you know, that kind of thing. Mm. Different things like that.
False advertising of couponing.
Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, it kind of was. And it was to make the show more dramatic and to give advertising to whatever store they were shopping in as well. That was part of it.
Are you actually telling me that something on reality TV might actually not be real?
Well, that one absolutely isn't. I mean, it's not, you know. And I've read, I've done some writing about coupons and things like that. So I've read all this research on this, that, and the other. And it appears that when it was discovered that, like, the extreme couponer show was kind of fake in some ways, or, you know, not something you could really do outside of the show, people were really mad, like really irate about it. It was a huge controversy on the coupon blogs, apparently. I don't know.
Well, before we go on, we have a super important decision we have to make about not only our personal future, but quite possibly our future as a planet. Now, we have these new toothbrushes, and thankfully, this is one of those things where they spent hundreds of hours, I would have to imagine, down at the toothbrush plant, engineering this so that all of our lives would be better. But the toothbrushes have different colors.
Mm-hmm.
One is kind of purplish, and one is kind of greenish.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, the green one really is a kind of toothbrush, toothpaste kind of green, kind of aqua green, might call it.
Yeah.
So that's handy because it's a toothbrush, and you're going to put toothpaste on it, usually. I mean...
Well, what else? I mean...
You could...
Well, you can use an old toothbrush for cleaning purposes once you're not going to use it for its original purpose anymore, but other than that...
So... My using my old toothbrush to just kind of get some of those problem areas around the toilet?
Well, you've already got mold on that old toothbrush?
Well, no, but what I'm saying is maybe that's how the mold got on there?
I don't know. Have you been doing that?
Well, look. We're not here to be judgmental. So, we've got the two toothbrush colors. And we need to decide who's going to use which color. So, what color do you feel like you want?
Well, what color was I using before?
I think it was an orange one, which we don't have. We only have purplish and greenish.
I really don't care.
Well, but that's not... I mean, I have a whole thing where it's like, we have a drum roll, and we're going to decide, and it's going to be all dramatic. And... If you don't, I mean, I feel like I am more cosmically attracted to the greenish one.
Okay,
so
that's fine.
I think I want to use the greenish one, but then that means by default you have to take the purplish one.
That's fine.
Now, you're very... I mean, you're the one with a degree in art.
Mm-hmm.
So, in theory, if you wanted to, you could probably change the color of this.
I probably could, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I just realized there's a whole market that probably no one has tapped into. You know, I have a lot of ideas, and I just throw them out on this pod. And, you know, if anybody wants to capitalize on any of them, that's fine. I don't care if you steal all my ideas. All I ask is that, you know, when you're swimming in your second $1 million off of one of my great ideas, when you're in that money pit like Scrooge McDuck has and you're just swimming around in it, just think of me. That's all. That's all I ask. So I just realized that there's probably a huge market out there for custom toothbrushes. Can we get Etsy on the phone?
Should we look and see if they're already out there on Etsy?
Maybe for the next show.
I don't know. That might be scary. For the next show. You know?
Custom toothbrushes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, so so we've made a decision, right?
Yes.
We've decided.
Yes.
All right, we need to seal this. No. Okay, so we've made a decision. I will be green-ish. And you'll be purplish toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I put that to bed, thank God.
I gotta wonder if maybe part of the reason you don't sleep so well is because your mind is cooking up things like this thing. You know?
Well, it's
a toothbrush. Pick one. Ta-da!
This is why I need to have the sweet tones of Leo Laporte to gently lull me to sleep at night, because if I don't have that panacea for my mind, then I will never sleep. It's just that simple. So we need to mention this a little bit here. Jen was one of the 1.5 billion podcasters that appeared on the Realm Maintenance Show episode number 100.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you were there, so...
I was there. So this is a show that Ro does, and, Realm Maintenance is a reference to, when the World of Warcraft realms are down. But this particular show really focused on podcasters and podcasting. And yeah, there's a lot of gaming talk in there too, but, it's also about, like, audio quality and, what makes a good show and all these other really insightful questions he asked us. And he might have had 50 people. This is a best guess. I'm not sure that he interviewed
1.5 billion.
Yeah. And I know like the interview he did with me was like 15 minutes. So if you multiply that by all of the people he spoke with, that's a lot of time spent just doing the interview. And then what he did was went over each question because he asked everybody the same questions. and gave like everybody, like spliced in everybody's answer or some people's answers or many people's answers to each one. And then he also answered the question for himself. And it's really interesting to listen to. It's pretty long. It's a long show. He doesn't do shows.
Over 3 hours.
It's over 3 hours. His shows are not normally over 3 hours. But I am on there because he did interview me and ask me some questions about podcasting. And that's episode 100. And it's my understanding he's going to release the full interviews that he did with each person as time goes on.
Well, it's realm-maintenance.com. Just look for episode 100. And, of course, we'll link to it on our web. That's hypernonsense.com. And I just figured out what's the obvious and perfect keyword for this episode. That'll be toothbrush. So go to hypernonsense.com/toothbrush. And you'll be able to find this episode, and that'll be where the show notes are with a link to that if you want to go check it out. So, since our last episode, we've had a little bit of feedback we want to address. Nathaniel Lott left a comment on our last show, and he said, I think Sean was on the right track when he said where guilt and pleasure may go hand in hand is breaking into an orphanage and stealing snacks. Yes. He said, I don't think you ever need to break in somewhere. Food by itself, and in particular sweets like chocolate, could make you feel guilty for eating too much, and pleasure because it tastes so good. I'm enjoying Orange is the New Black. Also, but like you, I only watch a couple episodes at a time. And in fact, we watched some more of that today.
We did, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Still not through the season yet.
We're but like we said before, I like to kind of have time to think about it and kind of guess what might happen next.
Yeah.
You know?
That's one of those things that happens where when Jen comes to bed at night. And then what she does,
I'm like, you know that scene where
what she does after she's had a few hours to digest the last episode of Orange is the New Black, then she wants to talk about that. Then she has to tell me everything. She has to tell me every tweet and Tumblr post that she saw.
No, I don't do that.
She recounts every one of them.
I don't do that, no. Mm-mm.
And then she tells me about all the hashtag protests. So
lately, yes, but not normally. Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things we asked for recently was if everyone could go out and leave iTunes reviews. And I checked before the show, and we have a total of 2.
Woohoo!
So go ahead and read those if you will, please.
Okay, so we have an iTunes review from Epigenosis Thunders.
See, I thought when I read that name,
Epignosis?
I thought the G might be silent. I read it as Epinosis Thunders.
Epinosis Thunders,
which is a pretty kind of epic sounding name. I can't tell. I can't tell if Epinosis.
Maybe it is. No.
I can't tell if Epinosis Thunders would be a heroic or perhaps villainous name. It could really go either way.
Okay,
but anyway,
so if we've mispronounced that, whoever you are, let us know how to fix, because
right.
We're kind of guessing. So this person titled the review Fun Throwback Show and gave it a rating of 5 stars, and the review is as follows. It's like traveling back to the birth of podcasting, but only the good parts. This is a fun, easygoing podcast that in the days of yore we would have called a couples cast. The short of it is, it's like hanging out with old friends. Come stop by and stay a while.
That reminds me when he said the birth of podcasting, that reminds me of one of my old songs that I used to sing when we'd go to make a show. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Pod babies, making pod babies. Pod babies, and we're doing it now. Pod babies. The birth of podcasting. The birth of a show, that's when you make pod babies.
Sure.
So what's the other one?
Okay, so the second one is from Sean O'Gordo. Who could that be?
I don't know who that is.
The comment has been titled, Clearly the Best, and of course the rating is 5 stars. The comment is as follows. As a host of this podcast, I am completely unbiased in my review. 5 stars.
Yeah. That person is clearly suffering from pasta syndrome.
Yeah, pasta. I think I'm suffering from pasta syndrome because I can't eat real pasta anymore. I have to eat the gluten-free kind. It's pasta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So thanks to Epinosis Thunders for leaving a review. I would love to see more of those. and we will read them on the show. And if you go to hypernonsense.com/iTunes, it sends you directly to the iTunes page. And from there, you can click over and write a review. The only requirements are you will need to have the iTunes application installed on your computer. You might be able to do this on... I don't know if you can leave reviews on iOS, but I know who knows this. And that person is the aforementioned Nathaniel Lott, so perhaps he can leave us a comment and let us know. But hypernonsense.com/iTunes, and you'll have to have an Apple account. You can do all that for free. You don't have to spend any money, and we greatly appreciate that. And more importantly, it's one of the ways that we can get more exposure in the iTunes directory. It helps us move up and all that. So we greatly appreciate that, and we'd love to see more of that. And in general, if you want to leave a comment, hypernonsense.com is the website. And you can send us an email or leave us a voicemail. Email is show@hypernonsense.com. The 24-hour voicemail, 206-600-9832. And if you send an email, and we'll read it on the air, unless for some reason you don't want us to, just let us know. Same with the voicemail. If you leave a message, we'll play it. So, last show we talked about Canadia Day, and that was fun and amazing. And
you sang a song.
Yeah, we did an official reading of the Canadian National Anthem. So... last week, then, was the 4th of July, as it's colloquially known, but more officially, that's Independence Day as the holiday here in America. And I have a few stories in regards to that. Let's start with the funnest one first, shall we?
Oh, boy.
A man in his 40s lost both his hands Friday when fireworks exploded permanently in a San Jose July 4 celebration. Police said the man was igniting illegal fireworks Friday evening as family members stood nearby.
Oh, my God.
He was holding fireworks when they exploded, and the blast blew off both his hands. He is expected to survive. Nearby in Sunnyvale, two men lost fingers in a mortar-type firework explosion. The incident occurred about 15 minutes after the man lost his hands in San Jose.
Oh, my God.
Victims in the Sunnyvale accident, aged 32 and 41, were also holding fireworks when they exploded. One man lost fingers on his left hand and fingertips on his right. The other man lost part of his right hand. So, I know I shouldn't be laughing, and I'm really not laughing.
No, it's just kind of, these are adults, and they should know better.
Yeah.
So I expect alcohol played a part in this, but, you know, still. This is why you don't do that. Go to a fireworks show, you know? One that's, like, set up and safe and all of that stuff. That's why they're called illegal fireworks, because shit like this can happen.
I have to say that I was somewhat pleasantly surprised that, because it seems like what happens... anytime there's a holiday worth fireworking over, is it sort of becomes kind of a week and a half long thing. So in this case, Independence Day fell on a Friday, and the expectation is that you'll start to notice fireworks going off the weekend before, and they'll kind of go through about midweek after the holiday. But I have to say that the number of fireworks I heard was really subdued. I don't feel like we heard really that many fireworks going off. And I know that most of the time that I hear fireworks around here, they're probably not legitimate ones. So it's always a little scary. Yeah.
Well, all the houses are close together, you know, so it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
did you have more stories?
I do have another one.
Okay. I'll see what yours are and then I'll follow up.
Okay. Well, this one is hopefully not at least about people losing their limbs over fireworks. Spotify's data-gathering subsidiary, the Echo Nest, has surveyed users state-by-state for their favorite 4th of July songs, or as Echo Nest puts it, tunes that, quote, are played proportionally more on the 4th of July than during the rest of the year. Here are some states' Independence Day faves. For California, it's, yes, you got it, America, fuck yeah. From the comedy action film Team America World Police.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
The writer says, if I'm reading the map correctly, the song also appears to have tied in New Jersey with Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA. David Bowie's Young Americans has won over Maryland. Spotify users in South Dakota vote for Rockin' in the Free World.
Wow.
Spotify Oregonians favor Everyday America by Sugarland. Washington Staters choose ROCK in the USA by John Mellencamp.
Oh, somebody had to.
Pennsylvanians pick Star Spangled Banner by Whitney Houston. And a plurality of states prefer God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood. How did Echo Nest get this ranking? Survey group Paul Lemire explains, we collected top most frequently appearing songs on the 4th of July playlist and scored each song by calculating the ratio of play counts that occurred on July 4th in 2013 in the U.S., play counts for song during following weeks. Songs that were played much more frequently on the 4th than during the rest of July get a much higher score. Ranking songs by this ratio yields the list of distinctive 4th of July songs. So there you go. America, fuck yeah. Best in California. Now, here's some things to consider. Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA is really not a patriotic song.
No.
And
it's not.
You may remember somewhat infamously, Ronald Reagan wanted to use it for his campaign, and Bruce Springsteen kind of came in and said, no, we're not going to let you do that.
Right.
And Rockin' in the Free World by Neil Young, also not a patriotic song.
No.
kind of absolutely not a patriotic song.
Right.
And I don't know if, I'm trying to find, what was it, North Dakota? South Dakota played Rockin' in the Free World. And I tend to not think of South Dakota as a hotbed of liberalism or non-conservatism. So I don't know if maybe it's just that people don't quite get the message of the song, or maybe because people that might be Spotify users are probably a little younger and maybe not so much right-wing-ish leaning.
I don't know.
That's the reason why they played it on that day. But, you know, some of these at least make a little sense. I mean, ROCK in the USA, if you want to have that to be kind of a patriotic song, that's fine. Star Spangled Banner, of course.
Well, of course, yeah. Mm-hmm.
God Bless the USA, of course. That makes sense. But, yeah, some of these, I wonder if people are playing them and not quite getting the connotation of the song, or if they are playing them specifically because they get the connotation of the song. But anyway.
Well, I think a lot of people, and this is something that I kind of started noticing when I was doing Halfway Around the World, you know, with Nathan, and previous to that with Colin. I think there's a lot of people that don't listen to the lyrics ever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I'm certain of that.
Because
I think a lot of people, when they're listening to music, if it's a song they've known forever, you know, maybe they've learned the words by now. If it's a new song, they're probably just listening to the overall sound of it, especially if they're driving or traveling or working on something while they're listening, you know, that kind of thing. And I think most people consume music kind of passively that way,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so when you get into the lyrics of things, you can be quite shocked at times to hear what the song really is saying, you know?
Yeah.
So if they haven't, they may be surprised when they pick out the lyrics someday and go, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, if they even bother.
Yeah.
So what did you have? You had something in relation to this? Or?
Yeah, I don't have a news article, but I did notice on Twitter that people were posting on the 4th of July, they were posting photos of palm trees that had caught fire someone shot illegal fireworks either at them or over them. And so the palm tree caught fire because, hey,
brilliant.
We're in a drought out here in California, which is another reason why you shouldn't be shooting off illegal fireworks right about now. But palm trees on fire. I have never heard of that before. I've never seen photos of that before, but there was quite a few. It wasn't just one time.
That could be the name of our next band.
Palm trees on fire. Sure.
All right. Well, we're about at the hour mark here, and I didn't have anything else on me list. Did you have anything else you wanted to cover?
Not really.
Okay, well, thank you for listening. This is Hyper Nonsense. Our web is hypernonsense.com. You can go there. You can leave us a comment. Oh, wait. Stop the presses.
You forgot something?
I did have something else.
Okay, well, what is it?
This is actually important. So next week, there's a few things that kind of go on right around the middle of July. One of them, not really that important in the overall scheme of things, or at least to me anyway, is my birthday happens on July 11th.
Well, that's important, isn't it?
Well, it could be. I missed, you know, I was born on July 11th, 1976. I missed the bicentennial of America by 1 week. Wouldn't it have been awesome if I'd have been born on the 200th day, the 200th year after the Declaration of Independence was signed?
And then grew up to write protest songs? That'd be fascinating.
And then, who knows what would have happened, how my life would have turned out. Probably not at all differently.
Yeah, maybe.
But,
okay, so your birthday, yay.
Well, my birthday happens, and then really more importantly, and this is what I want to talk about. Next week, and then not but a few days after that, on the 15th, is actually our wedding anniversary.
Yep.
And we've, you know, told the story, but we'll quickly, we'll recap it here because, hey, it's a new show, sort of. So on around July of 2004, Jen came home from work one day and she said, "What do you want for your birthday?" And I said, "I think I want to get married."
And I said, okay.
And she said, "Okay, fine." So that's what we did. Making a story short, maybe we'll talk, we'll go over the story a little bit longer later. But that's kind of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And because this year is actually our 10-year wedding anniversary, as surprising as that may be to some, we have decided to celebrate by going to Las Vegas. And I know some people are going, "Well, wait a minute, don't you all have any money or no money?" And, you know, if you want to understand why it is that we don't have any money, it's because we decided to do things like go to Las Vegas.
No.
But in all seriousness,
that was mostly paid for before we realized.
Yeah, it's been the majority of
work situations. Let's say
the majority of the trip has been booked for a while, and that's not really a thing. But what we decided is because, you know, we love our audience and we want to take you everywhere, and that really sounded like I was buttering everyone up a little bit, but it is true. But what we're going to do is, you know, just to kind of help offset a little bit of the cost of the trip, we're going to do a campaign through the internet, and it's going to be called Buy Jen a Drink in Vegas.
Yay.
And we're going to set up a page at hypernonsense.com/support. We need to set it up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be a couple options there where if you'd like to send in a small monetary contribution between now and the 17th of July, because we're coming back on the 18th of July. Any donations that we receive between now and then will go into the Buy Jen a Drink Fund in
yes.
Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you can do in Las Vegas is you can drink anywhere.
Yes.
They have...
You can walk around with alcohol.
You can walk around with open containers of alcohol
right.
everywhere.
And go check out all the pretty lights.
This makes Jen very happy. And I want to say this just kind of preemptively. Like, we're not gamblers. And really, when we go anywhere, it doesn't matter if it's Vegas or anywhere else, we just kind of walk around and look at things until we're bored, and then we go back to the hotel.
Yeah, we don't spend a lot of money on stuff.
So,
we're not going to go gamble. I mean, we might do like the penny slots and go, okay, we've done it.
You know, yeah, we'll drop a few bucks in a slot here and there. But really, we're just going to go around and look at all the dumb, stupid things in casinos and... who knows what else? Not much else. I mean, we're only going to be there for a few days.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if you make a donation between now and, again, the 17th of July, what we'll do is we'll take a picture of Jen with a drink. We'll dedicate that to you.
And we'll note what kind of drink it is.
We'll post it on Twitter, and we'll put the, you know, if you have a Twitter handle and we know what it is, we'll at you, reply you, mention you. And that'll be under hashtag Buy Jen a Drink.
Yes.
And if you're wondering why it's not by everyone who does this podcast to drink, it's because I don't drink alcohol.
Alcohol doesn't like him.
And it's...
It loves me, but it doesn't like him.
Yeah. This is, again, one of those ways where, much like the sleeping thing, we're exact opposites. Alcohol just... It just doesn't want to be in my system.
Yeah. So, and I've learned, like, okay, there's some alcohol that is not gluten-free, so I'm allergic to it. But in the past, I've never gotten sick from, you know, any sicker from drinking alcohol that had gluten in it than eating food that had gluten in it, you know? But now that I've stopped drinking stuff that has gluten in it, I have, like, my tolerance has just skyrocketed.
Yeah, I mean, Jen...
I can drink forever.
Yeah, Jen's metabolism loves alcohol. There's no question about it.
Yep.
So again, that's hypernonsense.com/support. We'll have the options there where if you want to have some fun with us in Vegas, you can... you know, chip in a little bit, and we'll put that out. Hashtag buy Jen a drink.
Yes.
So, thank you there for your consideration. We can officially play the closing music. So, thank you again for listening. HyperNonsense.com is our website, and we'd love for you to leave a comment there if you would like to. Show@HyperNonsense.com. That is where you can email us, and you can voicemail by going to your telephone, picking up the receiver, waiting for a dial tone, and then if you've got one of those rotary phones...
Oh my, please tell us all about it, because I don't know if anyone has.
Yeah, someone call us from a rotary phone and,
tell us, take a picture. How long it took to dial.
Reminds me of my friend. I had a friend named Nick when I was younger. Actually, a really good friend of mine for many years. And somehow, he had gotten a rotary phone in his room. And it was one of those, like, old ones that I think was actually owned by the phone company. I don't know how he got a hold of that, but it was kind of cool. You know, retro. But you can go to a rotary phone. Any phone you got, a cell phone will work. You can tie a tin can on the end of a string, I guess. 206-600-9832. You can call any time of the day or night. Doesn't matter when you sleep. Doesn't matter when we sleep, because that just goes straight to voicemail, and we'll be sure to play that on the show. And again, hypernonsense.com/iTunes. We'd love for you to leave us a review. And don't forget, if you go to the website, you can see all of our subscription options. iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker are all there. Or if you just want the RSS feed, you can get that as well. Plug it into your podcast client of choice. Doesn't matter what it is. You can use any one. We just want you to hear the show.
Yeah.
And if there's a platform or app out there where you'd like the show to be and you're having trouble getting it there, please let us know, and we will do our best to get that working. So, we will do one show. There will definitely be a show next week. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes.
And don't worry about that. Even though we're going to leave on Monday to go to Vegas, there will definitely be one more show before we leave. So, don't worry about that. And thanks, everybody. We'll be back with you soon.
Bye, people.